During college, my mom had a temporary job in retail. She worked behind the Bloomingdale's glove counter. Now, those of you past a certain age know I'm not talking about winter gloves. I mean those white or black going up to the elbow gloves that women wore when they were out and about. So I'm not seeing any looks of recognition. Was mine the only mom that had the drawer full of white gloves and black gloves? And I would dress up and say, oh, someday I'll wear these. But then fashions changed and I never got to. But back to our story. It didn't take long for her to make an interesting observation. She noticed that when people first started the job and a customer asked for a specific item, a newly hired saleswoman would say, oh, yes, I think they have that. After time passes, the response changes to, oh, yes, I think we have that. And after sufficient personal investment in the position, the response becomes, oh, yes, I think I have that. Just a simple change in word. They have that. We have that. I have that. A small thing, but similar to an iceberg, that one word that seems very tiny on the surface points to something enormous underneath. Their choice of word points to how connected they feel to their own place of work and its mission. It represents the perception of personal ownership of the whole. Each of us has shopped in stores where all the people working there are they people. I don't know if they have it. And we've all been in businesses with we and I people. Let me see if I have that. And each of us absolutely recognizes the large difference in attitude, the large difference in the quality of the shopping experience between those two. I want to point out an observation I have made over the past year or so. I share this in no way to shame or blame. I've also observed it in myself, so I say this with no sense of judgment. It's a very small thing, I'm sure a very subconscious thing, that I've pretty consistently observed. And I believe it is a small thing that will make or break us as a congregation in the months and years ahead. As you can imagine, I have had a number of members ask me over the past months about our TBS present and future. Many people wonder about our transition and what the future might look like, and they ask me about it. And with very few exceptions, this is what I hear from our members. So what are they going to do about a rabbi? Or, I've heard the congregation has fewer members than we had a year ago. What are they going to do about it? The difference between what are they doing about it and what are we doing about it is just a couple of letters. But in that couple of letters lies our congregation's future. Is Temple B'nai Shalom they? Or is Temple B'nai Shalom we? As a teacher, I try to never ask questions that have a simple answer. But this one actually does. Temple B'nai Shalom is we. There is no they. No one from the outside is making any decisions for us. Frankly, no one on the outside really cares what we do, how well we meet our community's Jewish spiritual needs, whether we flourish or fold. Well, probably the HVAC and sprinkler system people care because they are doing very well by us. But them aside, the only ones who care are us. TBS is us, and we are TBS. And yes, some of us accept roles on the board to help better our community, but they are still us. And in the months ahead, we will be collectively deciding, primarily through our personal actions, what the TBS of the future will look like, or whether it will be here at all. Most of you in this sanctuary, maybe all of you, are here this evening because you believe in the values and mission of TBS, you care about your fellow members of TBS, and you have therefore given your time, your money, your talents, your expertise, your energy to maintain, support, and maybe even to found this congregation. And our community owes a great debt of gratitude to all of you for what has happened here, for the children and adults who have been Jewishly educated, for the spirituality that has been experienced, for the love and support in times of grief and illness and loss that has been received, for the Jewish joy that has energized the hearts and souls of Jews of all ages, for the deep connections to Jewish community, to our people, to our values and teachings that have been nurtured. So now we wrap up Jewish year 5779, 33 years after we first started, and we are now part of a community that is in transformation. How we are transforming is very much fluid, evolving, and open to change. As we transform, each of us should be doing some considering of the big long-term picture. Is this Temple B'nai Shalom enterprise worth sustaining? If so, as a smaller community, at least for a time, it will realistically take more time and greater resources from every individual member. Or does Northern Virginia have a sufficient number and diversity of synagogues, some with far greater resources than we have, to absorb us so that we don't have to invest so much in our little shul in the woods? I recognize that in scenario number two, I no longer have a job, so that part is a bummer. But in no way, of course, should that be the determining factor in our future choices as a community. Each one of us will want to consider these choices. It's not about one option being good and one bad, or one right and one wrong. Either choice could work in terms of keeping a vibrant and relevant Judaism alive in our region. In the weeks and months ahead, I suggest a couple of questions for each of you to consider seriously. Do I think that Temple B'nai Shalom should continue to exist, to continue to be the unique place of Jewish worship, learning, caring, and joy that it has been for over three decades? If so, what am I willing to do to make that happen? They won't make that decision. There is no they. There is only we. There is only you. Shabbat Shalom.